And this episode of the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast, me and my co-host and my guy, Leif Tulin, we are going to discuss the prospects from the G League Ignite team. I believe, and I think Leif believes, that the Ignite will have 3 first-round picks this year. But let Leif tell you how high he thinks the guys will be selected. Stay tuned. Big shout out to each and every person that has made the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast your first listen of the day. And this episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code Locked On, and you will get $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. I'm your co-host. I am your host, Rafael Barlow, and my co-host is Leif Tulin, the guy that watches more college basketball than anyone else. But lately, Leif has been watching a lot of G League. And Leif and I are going to be in Chicago next week. This will be Leif's first NBA Combine. It will be my second. It is an amazing experience for draft junkies, guys that really eat, sleep, and breathe NBA draft. Even though it's kind of boring, but it's an experience that I think Leif will really enjoy. So, like, we're about a week away, give or take a few days. What are your thoughts so far about the combine? Like, what are you looking most forward to?
I'm just curious what it all entails, because, I mean, you kind of see the product of the scrimmages, but everything else is behind closed doors. You see a couple drills, like people shot well, and then some people shot poorly, and you see the wingspans measured. I'm just curious what is not televised and what I can see from being there and seeing these guys up close and personal, what's different watching them in person as opposed to on a TV screen. Or last year I was sick, so I watched on a computer. So even more so, you kind of glean more things in person. That's always been the case, but especially when you're in a room with these guys shooting, you get to go attend their pro days, or so to speak, pro days. And so I'm really eager for that and excited that I got the opportunity to do so, traveling out on Monday. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. The cool thing is, well, at least for us, is that the agents can't get in. So last year, I just remember sitting in the stands and my phone is just going off. Agents are like, what's my guy doing? Is he up yet? Is he doing anything? And I'm like, oh yeah, your guy just shot 16 of 25 in the star drill. Or, you know, they want to know what the vertical leap was and so on. And it's crazy because they are in this hotel that is connected to the arena and they feel like they're so far away. So I'm pretty sure, you know, some agents who listen to the podcast will probably come up, introduce themselves, ask for your information, and they're going to be wanting some feedback. And then they actually watch the games when they're on TV. So they're like, I mean, literally like 2,000 feet away. And they have to watch it on TV or on their phones, or they go to their rooms and watch it. And then there's like a little bit of a delay. And I remember last year there was one agent that was like, my guy got hurt. What's going on? And I'm like texting him like, he doesn't look like he's getting back in. And but like I said, it was a pretty cool experience. And I met a few people last year at the Combine that I stay in contact with. And one of them, I will talk about him in later on in this episode. All right, let's get right into it. All right, so this episode is about the G League Ignite. And Scoot Henderson is obviously the headliner on the Ignite team. And there's been a little bit of a debate here and there. Will he go number one or number two? But I think people ask me that every day. And what is your thought on Scoot? And I want to hear your thoughts on his second half of the season.
So my view on Scoot really hasn't changed much throughout the season, despite kind of tailing off in the second half. I think there's unteachable traits that he has that he demonstrated from such an early age, that he was precocious in the way that he was able to transition instantly and have an impact at 17 years old, the youngest signing they've ever had in the G League Ignite. Then year 18, he was really good. and he turned 19 during this season, and he was still really good. Like, you saw the showcase game between he and Victor Wembanyama prior to his injury. There was an argument you could have made that he was the better player in that first half, and Victor Wembanyama was phenomenal in both the second half and then the second game and solidified his stock. But at that point, it was who's one or two, and now there's been the creeping in of some teams really like Amen Thompson. Brandon Miller fits some of the teams that could be drafting, namely the Pistons, better than Scoot Henderson does should they get the second pick. And to me, I think it's been Wembanyama one, Scoot Henderson two, and I think they're in a tier all to themselves. And I mean, you can attest to this more than anyone. I love Brandon Miller and Amen Thompson. I've had them 3 and 4 all year with no change. But I think he's got just more star power. And the fact that he didn't finish well at the rim, the fact that his shooting numbers weren't phenomenal, he didn't score any more later in the season, doesn't perturb me because I saw what I needed to see and what he's capable of in an NBA setting. I know it's the G League, but it's a different game than college, and he was still dominating it in terms of the way, the momentum, the flow of a game early in the year. Later in the year, he dealt with some different things, and he was still an impactful player. Like, was it as good as the first half? No. Was he still impactful and can in control of the game? Absolutely.
Yeah, so I've had a couple conversations with two basketball minds that I really respect about Scoot, and they both wanted to know my opinion, and they wanted to know why is it even a debate. One was Scoot's agent, Christian Dawkins. Shout out to Christian. And then another one was his teammate, Pooh Jeter. And they're both like, why are people even putting Brandon Miller in the same category? And they're like, if Scoot played game two in Vegas against Vic, and they're like, he outplayed Vic in game one. And they're like, why all of a sudden, as even as that was, that there's some doubt about he'll go number two. And like you mentioned, some people are even throwing Amen Thompson in the mix. And they're one of the things that they both said about Scoot was, when you play for the Ignite, every team in the G League is giving you their best. They're the showcase team. Everybody's bringing their A game. Everybody wants to show out in front of the NBA scouts that are in attendance. And they felt like that alone gives Scoot and other prospects in the G League a bump over college basketball. And one of the comments was, you know, if you're in college, you may be playing against a guy that is going to get his degree and be selling insurance next year or work a regular job. While everybody in the G League is a professional, was a star in college. So my question for you is, it's a two-headed question. Do you think the guys in the G League should get a bigger benefit of the doubt over college guys? And do you think that if Scoop didn't kind of take his foot off the gas in the second half of the season and was able to maintain how he started, do you think that it would be a race between one and two, between him and Victor?
First part of the question is a slam dunk yes for me. I think that the G League, you need to have a different like scale for when you look at counting stats between the G League, especially shooting percentages and what you do in college. Like, I've mentioned this many times on Twitter and in this podcast, that Jaden Hardy to me was victimized for playing superior competition. And to me, the fact that he was the go-to guy, shot difficult shots because he was asked to do that, take the grenade, late clock situations and created as well as he did, just missed. But then he shot 88% from the line. Like, I had no doubts about his shooting. I think Scoot Henderson's is less about shooting percentages, more about just kind of the lackadaisical finish to the season because of what he did early in the year, dominating games. So to answer your second part, I don't know if he could have ever surpassed Wembanyama. I just think that Wembanyama is, other than LeBron James, the most hyped prospect in the past 20 years. Like, Zion Williamson had this frenetic energy, this buzz about him, but he wasn't seen or regarded as this prospect that Wembanyama was, because coming into the college, R.J. Barrett was considered to be the better prospect than Zion Williamson. Yeah. So I think
Cam
there's a duration of like when you're really that good, there's a duration of time that people know about you. Scoot Henderson's been on the radar for 3 years. Wembanyama, I may or may not have told the story, but I was in the library in my junior year of high school and I saw Victor Wembanyama as a 13-year-old, and I called my friend over and I said, "Hey Jake, this is the guy who's going to replace Gobert." And I still pray I'm right about that. Even though Walker Kessler's doing a great job, I'd like to have both of them. So if that happens, I just want that on the record here. Long story short, he's been there on the radar. So I don't know if he would have passed Wembanyama, but I think it would have been a discussion. I think there was going to be people that would have said, "You know what? I want to think twice about slam dunk Victor Wembanyama." Now there's a discussion, whereas now I think all 30 executives are going to run to the podium and say, "Here's Victor Wembanyama, number one."
Valid. There's so much I want to talk to you about in this episode, but let's talk about Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite event should not be stressful. Game Time is fast and easy. It is the easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. They have killer deals on last minute tickets and they have a best price guarantee, so you can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped over the fun that you will have. Game Time has flash deals on last minute tickets. They are easy to find and you can buy tickets for every kind of event in your area. You get images of the seats and they have a low price guarantee with event cancellation protection and job loss protection. So forget planning way in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up until right before the event starts. Like I said, they have deals on events from football to basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and Game Time guarantee means you'll get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time is so confident that they will credit you 110% of the difference. You'll get images of the seats before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. When you buy the tickets, it'll be on your phone in a matter of seconds, and it's sent directly to your phone. You don't have to dig through your email and all that crap about, you know, you buy tickets on one site, it directs you to another site. With Game Time, it is right on Game Time. So download the Game Time app, you create an account, and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and you will get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and use the redeem code LOCKEDONNBA, and you will get $20 off. So again, download the Game Time app. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Big, big shout out to each and every person that has made the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast your first listen of the day. And in tomorrow's episode, I'll be honest, I don't know. It'll be between Leaf and Richard. Flip a coin and see which one is on next. All right, back to this episode, talking about the prospects on the G League Ignite. Now, who is your number two Ignite prospect?
I mean, speaking of flipping a coin, this is how close it is. I've had CD Sissoko in my lottery for much of the process. I've recently moved Leonard Miller up to number 13. And so it would be Leonard Miller if we go off my very most recent board, which I haven't even published yet, that I've been working on today. I've got Leonard Miller at 13 and CD Sissoko at 14. So okay, splitting hairs here. But I've got three Ignite players in my lottery.
So Pooh would absolutely love, I'll connect you guys, you and Pooh Jeter, I'll connect you guys in Chicago. So literally this podcast is running late because I got a phone call from Pooh and he says, "Hey, I see you post GG Jackson number 5. I want to know what's the difference between GG Jackson and Leonard Miller." So I make my pitch, whatever. And he goes on to say, "You know, you're talking about like 17 and 10, how strong Leonard Miller finished the season, and why," and his question was, "why is Leonard Miller not a top 10 pick on every board?" And then he went on to say, "You know, you're getting the best of the best as far as competition when you are on the Ignite, as far as G League competition. You're getting everybody's best," and he outplayed guys that were first round picks and so on. And I had mentioned to him, and I want to hear your opinion, what holds more weight to you? Leonard Miller's strong finish to the season where the numbers were like incredible, or Scoot Henderson's slow or just the way his season ended. What holds more weight to you?
Leonard Miller's finish by a wide margin for me, because I think Scoot Henderson, like I mentioned briefly, that you could see that at the very start of this year and at the end of last year, he just had a control for a game that was precocious for the age that he's playing against the competition he's playing. So he was 18 and 19 years old, and he controlled the game dominantly. He plays against Victor Wembanyama's team, and he, for the first half of that game, I'm not going to say the entire game because Wembanyama finished pretty impressively, he was unbelievable. And that's a defender unlike anyone he's seen. And he was able to maneuver himself, score at will, get the good offensive shots for his entire team. So I saw all I needed to see, and I feel like he took his foot off the gas. And some people say, oh, is that work ethic? Or, oh, man, is he just did defenses figure him out? I don't think so. I think it was all it was all because he's so good already that he didn't need to prove anything to me. So I'm kind of pushing that up behind the rug, and I'm totally over it. Whereas Leonard Miller finishing the year with games like having 30 points and 20 rebounds in different games, running the floor, rebounding as a constant, defending as a constant, and then you see flashes of off the dribble creation. I'm not going to say off the dribble shooting, but creation, ability to pass out of dribble sets, and at the size he does it, he rebounds like a madman. I think he was always going to be a good defender and rebounder. The fact that he was able to put together and utilize his skill set that you saw in flashes in high school and put it together against professional athletes was astounding. And the more I've watched him, I've watched two full Ignite games today, and I watched another one yesterday. And Sidy Sissoko is who I wanted to focus on, and I couldn't take my eyes off of Leonard Miller. Leonard Miller was already top 17 for me. He's up to 13, and I'm not certain he won't be at 11 or something, maybe even 10, by the time I'm finished with this evaluation cycle ahead of the combine. I plan on posting a big board right before I go to the combine and right after I go to the combine.
Yeah, so and those points are valid. I do feel like Scoot took his foot off the gas. And I was actually there to witness Leonard have a 2020 game. I was there in person and saw that. I actually think that Leonard, his role was a lot different than I expected. I know the Ignite is a showcase team, and I know like their main focus is putting the guys in the best position to be drafted high. And coming into the season, I was iffy on Miller after he had an absolute awful combine last year. I think the jump that he's made over the last 12 months has been incredible. I thought we was going to see a little bit more point forward out of him. Not saying point forward skills, because I think he still has it. And I think that was his role in high school. But the way that he adapted and adjusted to a role as a rebounder, defender, finisher was totally different than what I saw a year ago. So I give him a lot of credit for that. The 2020 game I was at it was probably one of the best G League performances that I've seen. And I've seen some pretty good ones working for the Texas Legends for either 3 or 4 seasons. Now, what do you think about this? So when I talked to Pooh, I said, I feel like in some cases, the G League guys are at a disadvantage numbers-wise, in a sense, because their numbers are probably going to be better. The game is longer. It's a faster paced game. So some people are going to take their numbers with a grain of salt. I do think that once you get in the second half of the G League season, teams kind of take their foot off the gas in a sense. Well, I shouldn't say teams, but I guess collectively individual players are like, hey, I took this gamble in the G League instead of taking money overseas because I thought I was going to get a call up. You realize, okay, I'm not going to get a call up. Then you may just be like, you know, I just ready to finish the season out. And Pooh's like, his thought process behind that is you may see that from G League team to G League team, but you won't see that when a G League team is playing the Ignite. So I think on one hand, the Ignite players can benefit, at least on paper, numbers wise. But I think one of the biggest advantages that the Ignite players have compared to college guys is a guy like Pooh, is a guy like some of the other veterans on the team who understand that their role is to compliment these guys, to showcase them. And I mean, I think the Ignite setup is great. You get these veteran guys that still want to play, but their job is to really enhance their teammates. You don't get that in college. You get a bunch of guys in college who are like, hey, this is, I'm trying to get to the league. I'm trying to get to a situation where I can make some money, support my family. Not saying you don't have that in the G League, but I think that a Leonard Miller benefits from having a pool on his team that can run a team that's played. I mean, Pooh's probably been playing like 15 years, that can get him in his spots, put a battery in his back, charge him up, and make sure that he remains confident. I don't think college players have that. So in your opinion, what is the biggest advantage over a G League guy and a college player when you're comparing the two?
Well, I think the shooting stats is the one like statistic that I feel like is very much in favor of college players. I think it's a lot easier to shoot well in college basketball, particularly because a lot of these draft prospects are on good teams, so they create very good shots because they're better than their competition. Whereas in the G League, I think these are young players, the prospects that are that we're evaluating, they're young players and they're playing against guys that are veterans and are kind of like, hey, you know what, this guy's a superb athlete, maybe we'll use him to be the guy who sags off, and then you lack confidence and there's growing pains, quite literally, for these guys who are growing into their bodies and playing against professional athletes, guys that were former McDonald's All-Americans, the guys that did play in the league. So that's the biggest advantage for college. I think the biggest advantage for the G League players is the veteran leadership you reference, as well as the fact that you play an NBA style. So the adaptation for once you make the NBA, and I think of some evaluators and executives really prioritize the readiness. And I think the readiness is helped by the veterans like Pooh or Jarrett Jack in previous years that have helped these guys kind of evolve their games to fit what NBA teams want. And I heard this year when I was kind of I worked for the Jazz, as a lot of you guys know, and I heard through the grapevine that a lot of people are really impressed with the G League Ignite rookies and just how ready they were to contribute immediately, even if they didn't have enormous counting stats this year for their respective teams. I heard Marjon Beauchamp was a guy that was supposed to be a project, and he was immediately ready to contribute for the Bucks. He just happened to do it for the team that was the best in the NBA in the regular season. So you just don't get to have that much playing time. But to me, that's a testament to preparation and these guys being young, but being mentally mature at a young age.
All right, hold that thought, because I want to ask you about that. And we'll use the Warriors, for example. Moses Moody is playing more than Kuminga. So hold that thought. But let's talk about Prize Picks. And Prize Picks has this $1 million daily super flex promotion for the NBA playoffs and the finals. Every day of the NBA playoffs and the finals, one Prize Pick user, it could be you, I'd like it to be me, but one Prize Pick user will get a chance at becoming a millionaire. One entry placed at 8 a.m. Eastern time will be randomly selected each day. Whoever placed that entry will be given a 6-pick flex with the following payouts. If you get 6 correct picks, it is $1 million. 5 correct picks, 80,000. Significant difference between 80,000 and a million, but I'll take it. 4 correct picks, 16,000. I'll take 16,000 in my account too. And the full details can be found at prizepicks.com/million. You must opt in at this link to be eligible for the $1 million entry. Once you opt in, all you have to do is play the game like normal, and you could be the lucky winner. And what the game is, all you do is pick 2 to 6 players, and you pick if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It is just you versus the Prize Picks projections available. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch: NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, men's and women's college basketball, boxing, cricket, NASCAR, tennis, anything. And the entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. It is safe and it's fast. You can get your money out quickly. And it is currently operational in 30 states and Canada. So download the PrizePicks app. Go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. If you are a first-time user, you can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. So do not forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for instant deposit match up to $100. All right, when we left off, Leaf mentioned that some NBA scouts feel that the G League players are a little bit more ready, the G League Ignite players a little bit more ready than college guys. And so I'm playing devil's advocate here, and we'll compare Moses Moody to Jonathan Kuminga. Moses Moody was drafted after Kuminga. He played one season at Arkansas, and Kuminga was, I want to say, the fifth pick, and it was the Ignite's first year.
Seventh.
Was he seventh?
Yeah, seventh, and I think Moody went 14th.
Okay. I believe you're right. It is 12:51 a.m., so I'm a little tired. And one is playing, and one isn't playing for the Warriors. What are your thoughts on the reasons behind it? Now, it could absolutely have absolutely nothing to do with Ignite versus college, but what is your thought behind that?
Well, I think if you're going to compare the Ignite versus college, I'd say that the Ignite would probably win if you took a large sample size. In this case, there's more behind the scenes. Like, Kuminga early in his first year was used more as like, hey, can we develop you into a guy that'll perfectly support these stars, and then yourself will become a burdening, like a guy who will bloom into a star. Whereas Moses Moody's path has always kind of been a supporting member, and it fits more naturally for him to be a 3-and-D than it does for Kuminga, whose athleticism is his greatest attribute, where he can like kind of thrive in a run and gun sort of offense, as opposed to one where it's catered around space and pace, which is how I describe what the Warriors do with two of the greatest shooters ever, and then a playmaker in Draymond Green. So I think this is just an individual case where I don't think there's any key indication of college or G League Ignite really mentally preparing them, those two, better than the other. But I think the way the Warriors play and the stakes, the magnitude of playing in a playoff series, is easier for Moses Moody to play his role and adapt to what his role is than it is for a guy like Jonathan Kuminga, who I think still has a higher potential. It's just harder for him to play in that stake the way he wants to play the game.
That is fair. What are your thoughts on Jalen Green? Would you select him where he was selected in a redraft?
I've never been the highest on Jalen Green, but I'd probably, that when draft night happened, I would have taken him second. I liked Mobley more. I thought Green, you could take an on-ball star. But yeah, he's going second or third in a redraft, I think, pretty comfortably. So both immediately, that's how I felt, and now. So I don't think the G League Ignite has their superstar yet, but I think Scoot Henderson has a real chance to be that. And I think that Jalen Green's going to get better in time. And I'm fairly confident that he'll be an all-star within the next 2 years. And that's pretty much the trajectory you want for a second overall pick.
That's fair. All right. In your opinion, do you think that even though the competition is better in the G League, and we've talked about it before, do you think it's harder to evaluate them in pressure situations because you don't see them in must-win games? You don't see them in hostile environments. You don't see, I mean, you really see them playing in front of small crowds. How do you evaluate how a guy responds under pressure in the G League?
I don't think it's as good a tool, seeing how they respond to pressure in game situations, but I think there's adversity to figuring out how to play against guys that are so much older and more physically mature and have played in the NBA or the G League for as long as they have. And then immediately these 18 and 19 year olds step in and are supposed to be the best players on their teams. So I think that's mental adversity that is valuable to kind of evaluate. I think from game situation, you're right. They don't mean as much as college games because other than for some of the very best colleges, most of these guys need to win all these games or try to their best to do so. And then they have a tournament, which is single elimination, whereas the G League, it's a regular season. So I think there's give and take for the advantages of both leagues. I think collegiate basketball, there's an something that can't be duplicated in a must-win situation. And then there's a mental fortitude that just needs to be acquired through repetition in the G League Ignite, where you're playing against such good competition at such a young age that you really get thick skin and mentally and physically prepared for the NBA.
And here's where I'm torn. And again, I worked in the G League for 4 years. I love what the Ignite are doing. Where I'm torn at as an evaluator is the Ignite don't have to win. There's no, I mean, they just don't have to win. In college basketball, you have to win. Guys are trying to, of course, get to the league and get their numbers and play in front of scouts. But ultimately, the coach has to win games. With the Ignite, you're not graded on wins and losses. So I feel like the system is set up for the Ignite players, that their showcase guys, to succeed. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I don't see an issue with the situation being set up for them to succeed, though. I think that's what makes it a valuable option for these top prospects who want both monetary incentive to play there, but also it allows them to say, you know, we're going to play the NBA style and be prioritized within this system, and winning isn't necessarily paramount, which is sometimes a deterrent in college basketball. Sometimes these top players isolating and doing things that the NBA, taking shots the NBA prioritizes, isn't what the college coach is. And the college coach is the man, whereas in the NBA, the players are kind of the head honchos. So I don't see too much of an issue with it. I think your point is valid, but there's reasons for the way it's set up. And as you well know, I think that it's a valuable option. And initially, I didn't love it when it first became an option, but the more I've seen it, the more I appreciate what it does for the players to develop their confidence in their games.
All right, let's talk about City. You have City in the lottery. That's probably the highest that I've seen. Why are you so high on City and higher on City than the consensus?
Yeah, I've had him around 13 through 20 throughout the majority of this process. My short answer for this is basically you don't see too many guys at his age have the stature he has and the ability to impact the game on one end of the ball, which is defense. I think he's going to be a great defender right away. And then offensively, he gets to the right spots, and he had a series of games in the G League, which, as I've mentioned, I don't think the shooting percentages are very fair to these guys at such a young age playing against that good of competition, where he shot 31.4%, which isn't that bad from three, and that's the main knock on him. But also, he had a series of games where he scored 25 straight games. You don't see any college players doing that. And I know that's a longer they're longer games in the G League, but still, it's really impressive, especially when he's one of the tertiary option for this team. Scores 20. He's known for defense. His shot was not bad, but it looks better than the percentage would indicate. He's playing against guys significantly older, and I think he has a secondary creator to him. I think you made this point that what Anthony Black does well, Sidy Sissoko does well as well, and he did it in a better league. So I buy upside as a secondary creator, if not a primary one. Defense, I think he'll be outstanding at some point, and I think the shot will improve. I'm not going to say he's ever going to be a phenomenal shooter, but there's enough signs for his shot being respectable. I'll leave it at respectable for now. So, and to me, that makes up for a possible lottery pick.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the three-point shooting numbers. His numbers, what was it, like 31%, are pretty much on par with every rookie in the 2022 draft class. If you compare all their three-point shooting numbers combined, I think they're about average where City's at. I mean, what did Jabari Smith shoot from three? And he's supposed to be considered a great shooter. So I had an agent tell me the same thing. He saw that I had a scouting report on his player and I put the shooting was inconsistent. And so he says, my client's shooting numbers, even though the shots are different, he was like, if you look at Luka Doncic, you look at Jason Tatum, you look at all the top outside of Steph, the top shooters in the NBA, The guys are taking them on a high volume. He said they're probably shooting a little less than league average. And he said his client shoots difficult shots, and they're around that same. So, you know, it makes sense. Well, that wraps up this episode on the G League Ignite. Once again, thank you for making Locked On NBA Big Board Podcast your first listen of the day. This is Rafael Barlow with my co-host, Leif Tulin. And as usual, Leif brought up some excellent points. And this episode was about the Ignite. And he convinced me why he believes that the Ignite will have three guys in the lottery. Leif is going to be a fan favorite. Not a fan favorite. But Leif is going to be a favorite in the Ignite world. I'm sure the people that support the Ignite will love this episode. Once again, it's Rafael Barlow and Leif Tulin, and we are out.